God's called us to have an impact, and that's going to be the title for the messages that I give over the next few weeks. God wants us to have an impact. He's called us to have an impact. Amen? What is an impact? An impact, by definition, is, I think Chris has the noun version. I don't have the noun version in there. The noun version of impact, if you could, is to have a strong effect on someone or something. That's what an impact is. An impact is to have a strong effect on someone or something. But we've been called to have an impact, and so I want to look at the verb definition of impact today, and that is to come into forcible contact with another object. You and I have been called to come into forcible contact with another object. The second part of the verb definition is to have a strong effect on someone or something. But it's to have an impact. We're supposed to touch other people. To not just be, you know, individuals that are in this life, living for God, receiving from God, hearing from God, but not having any impact on the people around us. And when we go back to the New Testament and we think about the early church, they had an impact. Look back up to the one who birthed the church, Jesus Christ. He had an impact. He came to this world and he had an impact. He had a forcible collision. And I don't mean like a car crash that causes destruction, but a collision that causes a powerful impact, a powerful result. He changed the world. The world that he lived in, but the world that continues to go on. Jesus Christ is a world changer. And we're supposed to have an impact. That's what he's called us to do, to take on his ministry, to continue his ministry, to come into a forcible collision with another object. Well, in our case, it's other people. We're supposed to have a collision. In other words, we're supposed to have an interaction with other people to sow into their life, to produce results in their life, to have an impact upon them. Amen? Let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read the first four verses. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, oh, how he loves us. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love. He loves us, and therefore we are to love. Being of one accord, of one mind." Now this is the heart of what God's called us to do as his people. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. He doesn't want us to be personal kingdom builders. He wants us to be his kingdom builders. Man has erected kingdoms, their own kingdoms, for their own glory, all the way back to the Tower of Babel. He doesn't want us to be individual kingdom builders. He wants us to be his kingdom builders. Amen? So not through selfish ambition and personal conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. What is our heart toward other people? To consider them better than us. To put them and their needs ahead of our own. See, selfishness and conceit is to say what the world is saying. To say what a lot of self-help people are saying. You have to put you first. You have to take care of you first. You got to be all about you. And then from that place, then you can be that. There's an element of truth to that, but it's way lopsided. Because the fruit of those people's lives, the fruit of individual people's lives, when they feed on that, is not to put energy into themselves to make them strong, to be a force for good, to have an impact on other people. It's all about them. See, they stop there. You don't see a lot of fruit from that me first attitude. The Bible says the first. Yes, we love ourselves. Yes, we feed ourselves, groom ourselves, nourish ourselves, take care of ourselves so that we can be strong and be able to be good. But not in the sense of first and foremost. Me first. And then, but it's just like people who say, if I had $1 million, when I get $1 million, then I'll give to the church. Then I'll sow seed when I have that. You know, we have to be faithful in what we already have. Amen. And then he says in verse 4, and I want you to hear this. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but the interest of others. So when we consider others more important than ourselves, it needs to be in action, not in attitude. See, it begins with an attitude, but it results in an action. Because see, if I really do think of others as more important than me, then I will sacrifice. I will be there for another person. I will give of myself, my time, my talent, and my treasure to be a blessing to other people. If I really feel that way toward them, then I'll sacrifice. Let me take you back to love and courtship. How many young men who have become devoted in love towards a young woman have given of their effort, and they work and they'll do extra hours and they'll take extra jobs to buy that engagement ring to put on her finger, because she's more important. It's not about the video game anymore. It's not about the motorcycle anymore. It's not about the boat anymore. It's not about the clothes anymore. It's not about buying for myself and all my desires. All of a sudden, the affection for that person, and then when that bears fruit in the form of little human beings, it extends to them. My heart is my family first and foremost. And Lisa will tell you, I want for them first. I have personal desires, but I consider them more important, and I would rather have them have shoes and clothes and things, her to have shoes and clothing and things, before I'm going to look for my own self. And so because I do, years ago we decided I do the finances for the church and do work at the church, and she wanted to contribute in our family dynamic. She wanted to take on the finances for our home life. And decades ago I turned that over to her, and she'll tell you, I don't have her give account to me. And I don't put on her, I want this, that, and the other. I want you to budget in this motorcycle for me, or I want a new truck, or I want, this, I want to get this outfit and all. It's rare that I'll say, is it okay to get something? Because it's about them, and she takes care of that. And, in the day she comes and says, man, we are blessed. We've got some excess. And would you like to do something with it? I'll do that. But she does the same thing, by the way. It's about the family. It's about our needs. And she'll end up buying me, she'll see I need some new shoes, or I need a pair of jeans or something. I would go, if I had to get jeans, I'd go get the $10 Rustlers or Wranglers from Walmart, and it's like, hey, they're dark, like other people's jeans are good enough. I'm good. And she would, some over the years, she'll buy me, even underwear and stuff, because she washes clothes. She knows if I need some things. Things are wearing out. Elastic stretched out. Holes are starting to rip between the elastic band and the underwear. TMI. But you all know that gives you a word picture. You know that's your life, isn't it? And that's our heart and how we treat our immediate family. But God is calling us to be beyond our immediate family, because we do have a vested interest and a personal affection and love for them, and we're freely giving our love and sacrificing for them. But God is, just like Jesus called people to a higher level when he talked about sin and what sin is, what murder is. You know, he took it beyond taking a life to hating your brother and said, you've committed murder in your heart. Jesus has taken us to a God level. And so beyond what we would naturally do, even the world loves their family and will sacrifice often for them. Not all the time, but they will typically do that. But he's called us to another level and says, I want you to live that way. Live selflessly toward other people to have an impact on others. Amen? So we're called to do what benefits other people. Let's go to James chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. James 1, 21 through 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. This picture of the word of God being planted in us. And what do plants do? We have two individuals that brought fruit in today. You may not realize, but what was brought in there is fruit, not vegetables. I love science. A plant that has seeds in itself, by definition, the Bible gives that definition, is a fruit. Tomatoes and cucumbers have seeds within themselves. They're fruit. But we know what we're talking about. Implanted into the ground, the plant comes and it produces fruit. Or vegetables, or, you know, whatever it is. Sometimes a bloom of a flower, that's the fruit of that plant. Its bloom and its pollen and the beauty, and then the sustaining life that produces through bees. Bees are important. Pollen's important to our life. If you ever watched the movie Bees, the whole world would fall apart if it wasn't for them. So even flowers are important, and there's a fruit. This is the image that it's giving us. The Word of God's implanted. And the expectation that God has is that it produces fruit. And so he says, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. That's the first fruit of receiving the word of God. The first thing you receive from the word of God is the revelation that Jesus is Lord, and he died for you, and that you need a savior because you're under the curse of the law, because you've sinned, you've died, and the first fruit that's produced is the fruit of eternal life. But from there, from being born again, that is the beginning. That is not the end all. And how many people are believing that they're going to go to heaven because they prayed a prayer years ago and have not done anything in their life in devotion and dedication to the Lord? Well, I prayed that prayer, so I'm good. As if it's like, well, I paid that ticket, and so I'm good. No, the fruit of salvation is more than just that prayer and becoming born again. It is a life now. Live for him. That is salvation. So he says right after that first fruit produced of salvation, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now you're saved. You're a new creation. Now your heart is the ground in which I want my word to be planted so it can produce fruit. And you know, out of our heart where the word's planted, it's going to produce like a garden full of fruits and vegetables and flowers. Sunflowers have seeds in them, you know, and we eat the seeds. There's so many things you can picture. Sometimes it's the beauty and the pollen that's produced. All of it is his creation. All of it produces something. Plants produce oxygen. It's the way God created things. And our heart is soil, just like a rich soiled garden that can give you cucumbers and tomatoes and potatoes and onions and strawberries and blackberries we were talking about, and sunflowers. My grandma had her big garden, had 2-acre place, and this gigantic garden. I called it a small farm. It was to her the garden. But she had all of these turnips and rutabagas and everything. But she also had a couple of rows of sunflowers every year, all in the seasons. Corn. And so on. God wants us to produce out of our heart fruit. And each of those different things are things that can have an impact in our own life and for our family and within our church, but also to the world. He wants us to have an impact, yes, in our community. And if we get there today, we'll see that. So don't be just a receiver, a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. When that seed's planted, do what it says to do. Because if you're doing nothing but hearing, you're deceiving yourself. Verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and then he goes away and he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Oh, I saw that I was a sinner. I got humble and repentant before God, but then I'll go away and just, you know. Have you ever got dirty? I got really dirty yesterday mowing because it was dry. I mean, I had a layer of dirt and filth all over me. And I was hot and sweaty, and so it stuck to me. And I was telling Jay, I took the garden hose out here and just hosed my whole self down to get all that filth off of me. Now, I thought about, well, I could just, you know, go home and I'll take a nice hot shower and do that. And I could ended up leaving. She asked me to run an errand. And I could have thought, well, I'm going to take that shower. And just walked into the store with layers of dirt and grime. I was still wet when I went to Ramey and Frank, our beloved Frank in our community, after he was done waiting on me, he says, now go on and quit sweating. And I wasn't sweating. I was just still wet. My shirt was still wet from being hosed down. And I said, well, I've been mowing, Frank. And so, you know, but see, you could go in, and I wouldn't have thought nothing of it. And then if I would have went home and walked into the bathroom ready to take my shower and saw myself, I'd have been mortified. See, that's a picture of what it's saying. We're not to be that way. Because you can forget, I'll clean myself. I'll go take care of that. We're not to do that. We're to have to work the Word, looking into the Word all the time. Because we will immediately forget what kind of man we were. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, underline this in your Bible, continues in it. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty continues in it. That's the call of God on our life. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And what does the Bible say? This one is blessed in what he or she does. All of us want blessing in our lives. We want the approval and the favor of God working in our lives. We need to not just be hearers of the word, heaping blessing on our own self. I'm a little older than a couple of you in here, a few of you, a little younger than others. But maybe all of us in here remember or have heard since a song that Amy Grant wrote and sang years and years ago back in the 80s called Fat Little Baby. We're fat little babies, you know, just receiving, 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 but we're not doing anything. We're just fat little babies. We're just greedy. There's another song, I forget who sang it years ago. It was a male singer. And it was about our prayer life. Give me this, give me that. Bless me, Lord, I pray. Da, 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 da. Make another day. It was all about me. All about me. And we're seeing from the Word of God, and I've only selected a few scriptures because I only have a limited amount of time, that God has called us to have an impact on other people, to have an impact in our community. We're gonna see that as we go through the next few weeks. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That's exciting. You shall receive power. The Greek word is dunamis. It is the root word in etymology where we get our English word dynamite. It's explosive power. Our series is called Impact, having a collision with another object. You will receive power so that you can have a collision with another object, another human being. You can have a collision with your community. You can have a collision with your world because you shall receive power. And then when you get that power, as often, I like to expound on the Word of God. I like to take the Scripture and just take a magnifying glass to it and pull the truth out of that. And I may not be the best at that. I may not be the most gifted expository teacher in the world, but I am all about preaching the Word of God, of having Scripture after Scripture, not taking one little verse at the beginning of a sermon and then just give my message. Like her Uncle Ray said, "I've never heard you give a talk before." He was talking about a sermon at a funeral that I recently did. And I've on occasion I've heard people say that. "That was a good talk you gave." I don't want to give a good talk. I want to give a sermon, a life-changing message. And that won't come from Ray. That will come from the Word of God. That is what's implanted. So just a little thought there. So here we see that just as we did a moment ago, okay, you're going to be not only a hearer but a doer, and then here's what you do, and then here's the blessing that comes from that. Again, we see in the Scripture that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And he didn't say, so go enjoy it. Enjoy that power. Just laugh in the Spirit, cry in the Spirit, shout in the Spirit, praise in the Spirit, enjoy and just fill yourself up like a fat little baby. And he wants us to be filled and to be edified and built up. He wants all of that. The power of the Spirit manifested in our life to have a personal impact. But God in His priority continues to say, but it's not just about you. Jesus is worthy of all praise, of all glory, of all adoration in all of the universe. His name is a name above every name. He has been elevated and given the seat of power and authority in the universe, implementing all that the Father has planned. And yet He came and He served other people. He came to do for others, to put other people first. And He's our model. So when the Holy Spirit comes on you, yes, He wants you. First thing in Jesus' life, when His ministry began, it was when He was baptized in the River Jordan by His cousin John. And the Holy Spirit descended, and that began His public ministry. He had been feeding on the Word of God. He had been growing in wisdom and stature with God and man over the years, but there was nothing recorded of any ministry that Jesus did to others until He received power. He was anointed when the Holy Spirit descended, and He immediately began ministry. He immediately, upon receiving power, didn't say, "Okay, now I'm going to live. I thought I was living, but wow, now I'm really going to live. This is going to be great. I'm going to go in a cave, and it's just going to be me and you, Father. Woo!" The Holy Spirit produces the woo, doesn't He? But that's not what He did. He immediately began to impact other people. He immediately began public ministry. Can you see it? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, second part, you shall become witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now what I did was I produced some pictures out of my Bible app, and I'm just going to put these up here. And I think, Chris, you have them in order. Just put that first picture up, which would be Judea. Okay, now this has Judea and Samaria. Where you see Israel, that's Judea. Okay? And above that, which is part of all of what God originally had as Israel, but at the time of the New Testament, at the time that Jesus is writing, you had Israel, which you could say Judea, and then Samaria is above that. And you see Galilee, where Jesus' ministry came out of, Bethlehem, you know, is in here. But this is Judea and Samaria, okay? It's what we would call Israel, what God's called. So it starts local. Judea, right here in your home, and it says all of Judea. So it wouldn't be just in linking it to today. It wouldn't be just West Plains. It'd be the heart of the Ozarks. All of Judea would be all of the heart of the Ozarks. It might be Jerusalem. It might be right there in the center of it. But it starts there. It was birthed there. But I want you to have an impact on your whole local world. Heart of the Ozarks. And then Samaria, you could go, you know, beyond in Missouri. Beyond, you know, West Plains and going across our nation. And then the next picture is Judea, Samaria. And we know that it says, and then, you know, let me get my Bible back open here. It talks about into the ends of the earth. Well, they started there, but then they start going out. And there's Asia Minor. And if you'll look on there, we don't have time to just point everything out, but you'll see Thyatira, Pergamos, Smyrna, Philadelphia, Ephesus, Laodicea, Colossae. See, in Asia Minor, there was an impact, and those are the churches in the book of Revelation. They'd gotten the word of God up in the northern part above Israel, Judea and Samaria. Now they went up and over, heading west, into all of Asia Minor. Next slide gives you a close-up. There's Asia Minor, but see, they got all the way beyond Asia Minor. It's a close-up on the whole sea. It goes all the way around into Greece, and there's Macedonia, Achaia, Nicopolis, Athens, and Corinth is over there. The book of Corinthians. See, they took God at His word, and they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, and they began to spread and have an impact and see it spreading. And then it ultimately, in the life of Paul, in the life of the New Testament, goes even beyond that to the next slide. It goes all the way to Rome, to Italy. And you can guarantee it was spreading into Spain and others. I only picked a few pictures just to show you that you were familiar with some of these things, that they, in their lifetimes, were doing exactly what called them to do. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not humanly possible. That's not within the realm of their resources and their abilities. Just a group of people with no formal training. They were just discipled, the greatest training, discipled by the Master and empowered by the Holy Spirit. They had 3.5 years, a little less because He called them, but basically about 3.5 years of discipleship with Jesus, training personally with Him, and then empowered by the one He said, I will send to you, someone like myself. So He didn't leave them comfortless and without resource, without a teacher, without a helper. He was a teacher. He was their helper. He was their comforter. And He was the one that would just give them power, motivation, and boldness. He'd say, just go do it. He would inspire them. And that is who the Holy Spirit is. And He has given all of us, you and I, the Holy Spirit. And He's given us that power not just to partake of ourselves, but to have an impact. Amen. God's called us to have an impact. Next week, I'm going to, you know, we've talked about missions today. because we're having an impact on the world. But as the weeks go by, I want to do like the scripture does, and I want to start at the beginning. We're called to have an impact on the world. The heartbeat of God has reached the world. But we need to get in addition to that, we need to get focused locally. We need to have an impact on West Plains. More locally, we need to have an impact on our neighborhood. We have some neighbors that have started coming. What generated their coming? A sign. Just setting up in their neighborhood and seeing a sign. Tina came in, and now Sandra is a result of her relationship with Tina, but Maybelle as well, Brenda as well. We've had a personal relationship and connection over the years, and they had visited the other location, but it was coming into this neighborhood and reconnecting, having a garage sale and reconnecting that brought her and Jean. So we've had several people come in as a result of just setting up in a sign, but that's not what God's called us to do. That's passive. And it's a start. We need a place, and we need a sign to tell people, here we are. There's a church. But what we've read in the Bible today is that we're to have a personal collision, a personal impact. That's showing. Picture the steel balls. Have you ever seen those things that have about 6 ball bearings on a fish string? And you hit it, and then it, and they just go, and they go, and they go. See, one good collision, one good impact can be affecting the others, and they can even transmit power through what looks like they're stationary into something 6 people away. Now you can have an impact, a collision with one person in your neighborhood, and they may be indirectly having, and you may not be seeing a whole lot, but then all of a sudden you see, boom, 6 people away, 6 contacts away. Then a Billy Graham is produced. A Joyce Meyer comes forth. A Kenneth Copeland, a Kenneth Hagin, a Smith Wigglesworth, a John G. Lake, a Priscilla Smith, a Linda Duvall, a Graham Collins. That's doing something, having a collision in Armstrong, having a collision at the Social Security office, having a collision amongst their family, and producing an impact, a change. And that is what God has called us to do. And so next week, we're going to zero in and see there is a big picture, but we're going to go back to the root, the foundation, because our heart has been to produce and make a place to be able to accommodate people, to accommodate our neighbors, to accommodate our community, to accommodate the heart of the Ozarks. I believe a church alive is worth the drive. That people will drive down from Mountain View. They'll drive down from Willow Springs. They'll drive down here from Kabul. I believe people will come up from Thayer, come up from Mammoth Spring, drive up from the small communities that are below that, Hardy and so on. You know, there's a certain impact and range, and if there's the power of God, people will come within a reasonable amount of distance that's logistically possible, they will come. To come from, you know, I don't know if it'd be all the way to Gainesville, but you know, what are some of those communities? What's some of the communities going this way? That they'll come in. We're to have that impact. And yeah, we can even have an impact on the state of Missouri. We've spent time and energy, effort, finances and resources and talent. We've put a lot of prayer in. And I believe that God's transitioning us, saying, you need to start producing more. These, not so we can say we're the biggest church or a big church or whatever, but every empty seat doesn't represent prestige. It represents people. And the heartbeat of God is people. He wants us to seek and save that which is lost. He wants us to reach the hurting, the broken, those who are in bondage. He wants our church to be filled and it to look like West Plains. People of all different backgrounds. economic positions, ethnic and nationality positions. Linda just met a doctor, just fell in love with this guy. He's not from America. A black man from another country, she wasn't sure what country he's from, has a name so long she couldn't even pronounce it. But man, he had an impact on her. And she loves him for it. She was grateful. She's days later talking about the interaction with this wonderful doctor who takes time to listen and cares. God wants us to have a church filled with people, because rich people need Jesus as well as poor people. Black people, brown people, yellow people, red people, and white people, they need Jesus. People of different political party and whatever other considerations you want to look at, people need Jesus. They need the Lord. And God's called us to have an impact on people. I got to just cut off there today. We'll pick it up next week as we continue this series of impact, that we're called to have an impact, a collision with other people to produce a result. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for challenging us with your word. Lord, I'm not gonna put individual pressure to have people just step up and say what their individual call is. I believe you have called every one of us, that you've placed a message in our hearts today. And I believe, Lord, because there are spirit beings in here created in the image of Jesus Christ, new creations that have heard your word and have been challenged, that we're going to rise up. We're going to respond to your word, not only being hearers, but we're going to be doers. If that's you today, would you stand? I commit to having an impact. Whatever it is, I'm going to do something. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work through me. If that's you, I want to have an impact in my community. I want to have an impact. Would you stand right where you are? I'm not calling you up. Just stand. Everybody that wants to have an impact. I'm glad you're standing, because I was going to say, if you don't, you know, you could go to the Elk Club or somewhere else, because the Bible just said that we're all called to have an impact, aren't we? I'm going to have an impact. Some of us, it may stand out more. Some of us are going to be that ball hitting and producing, you know, a result. But some of us that we're having an impact, but it may be transmitted. It may not show up as much, but it's producing a result. All of us are called to produce some result, to have some impact. Father, we stand before you as children of God who want to be doers of the word, not merely hearers. Because, Lord, if we are only hearers, we are deceiving ourselves. We are wasting our time. But we stand here in faith and in commitment to you. We stand saying, Lord, we are going to do what you've called us to do. We are going to be who you've called us to be. And we thank you, Lord, that it will not be by our own power, our own effort, but we are empowered with the Holy Ghost. And because of that, we can go forth and do what you've called us to do. And Lord, we believe that even in the days ahead, before the next message in this series, that we are going to begin to see the result of the impact we're having on the people that you put us in contact with. And we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you glory for it. May much fruit be produced as a result of this message. We put our faith out there for it. And thank you that West Plains is going to start to shake. In Jesus' name, amen.